This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and I'm a huge admirer of our celebrity guest today, who is a television personality, news reporter, and now advocate, speaker, and so much more. Of course, I'm speaking about Dana Levinson, who you all remember from her many years at CTV as a news reporter, as a weather person. And I had her on my show 6 years ago in season one, and now we're in season six on Zoomer Radio. And she was just beginning this new chapter in her career where she left a major news organization after 20 years to go out on her own. And at the time, she started this fabulous show called On the DL, and was really transforming herself and her career and reimagining it all, as it were. But there has been so much more. And I really admire the quantum leaps and bounds that she has taken as a person, journalist, and humanitarian. Much of this happened after October 7th. And before I tell you even more about Dana Levinson, I also want you to know that coming up at the end of the show, we're going to have the incredibly talented singer-songwriter Jules Halpern back on the program with a brand new song. That's all coming up later in the hour. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about Dana Levinson. So Dana Levinson, as just mentioned, is a recognized television news personality with over 20 years in broadcast journalism and information programming. Her career spans from an internship at CBS National News in New York City to 20 years anchoring and reporting at CTV News Toronto to, as I just mentioned, becoming the host of her own podcast, On the DL, which is found in every major podcast platform. Dana's interviewed some of the biggest names in politics, entertainment, sports, health, and education. Dana's been an on-air contributor to CTV's Canada AM, Your Morning, The Social News Channel, and CP24 Breaking News. Among her many accomplishments, Dana appears in the new Star Trek series, Strange New Worlds, and is cast in the major motion film, The Marsh King's Daughter. Dana is also a national ambassador for the Universal Women's Network. And Dana is extremely proud to be featured as one of Canada's top 100 inspiring women of the year in the new book, Women Driving Change. And there's so much more. I can't wait to dive into all of it today. Dana Levinson, welcome back to Finding Your Bliss. It's so great to have you here.
Thank you, Judy. What an introduction. Thank you so much. It's so kind. So kind. I cannot believe it's been 6 years.
Is that crazy?
6 years.
I can picture us sitting there at the Zoomer desk, and we had video there, and we had the cameras and the whole nine yards. I have to tell you, Dana, that like you, since October 7th, I have been deeply concerned by the lack of support for the Jewish people and the astounding rise in worldwide anti-Semitism. And you have no idea what I've seen and listened to while trying to keep my wits about me and do this show. Trying to be as mainstream as I possibly can, trying to help people find their bliss and at the same time be authentic as a person while I search for my own bliss, which has been very difficult in light of all of this, as I know you understand. How did this entire experience impact you? Because things have dramatically changed for you since October 7th.
Yeah, that's a great question. How has it impacted me? It's impacted every aspect of my life, every relationship, including family, friends, coworkers who were close friends that are not friends anymore, work opportunities that have come and gone, unfortunately, threats in the working world. But it's also opened up a door of complete bliss for me. I have connected with the most beautiful and extraordinary human beings across the planet that I would not have had the opportunity to do so, which fills me up every single day. And I say this, and I don't hesitate when I say this, but I really believe that this has been a calling for me. Mm-hmm. And when it called, I felt a burning and a yearning, and I never looked back, not for one second, and I haven't stopped. Mm-hmm. There's been ebbs and flows, of course, because there has been threats and there's been many conversations around, do I continue? Do I do this? But it is part of my identity. I'm a very proud Canadian Jewish woman. And so I stand on my ground and say that I want peace all over the world, but I want humanity to prevail on this side of the world. Mm-hmm. Being Canadian is incredibly important to me and to my family, but being Jewish is part of who I am. And it's never been an issue before. And I don't want it to be an issue anymore for us and for our children going forward. So it's part of my daily being, but it gives me a sense of purpose that I've never had before in my life.
I have to commend you because, and we're going to get into this in a minute, but Adrienne Gold, the wonderful humanitarian, also elevating the spirit, momentum leader. And you just did a wonderful talk that I saw about a week and a half ago. And I was blown away by you. You really killed it. You were outstanding.
Thank you.
And she talked about how you both shared this work on television, on CTV, and she was more fashion and beauty and you were a news reporter, but just how it's so interesting how you've come to a very similar place and you're both sort of angels on this planet and advocates, and it's amazing. And you've really devoted yourself, and I've watched you do this, Dana, on your Instagram handle, which we'll give everyone at the end. You devoted yourself to being an advocate. And I just mentioned how compelling you were and how blown away we all were. And so I want to just go back a minute. You've left the major news organization after 20 years. You're doing your show on the DL. And then October 7th happened, and you began noticing that, as Martin Luther King said quite eloquently, the silence from your friends and colleagues of two decades was deafening. Can you just say more about that for a moment? Because I understand this very well.
Yeah, you know, and I do hesitate when I talk about this because I don't feel that it's malicious. I don't feel that the silence came from a hurtful or mean place. Some, yes, 100%. But I do believe in my heart that those that I was closest to while working in news, they didn't know what to say. And it's really tough. And I'm not making excuses, but I do believe in being human, and everybody's human, and it's hard. And it's a really, really hard situation when you start talking about geopolitics and identity politics, and you have all of that. Plus, you're talking about someone's well-being and the safety of their family and the safety of their family abroad. And so it all kind of meshed together. And there were a few that reached out to me personally, and that was very moving. But that was it, just a few. And imagine after 20 years, how many friends I have in the industry. So only a few. And not one publicly said a word, reposted, put up a tweet, put something up just to say, hey, I'm also a humanitarian. I believe in peace in this world. And I'm not taking any sides, but it wasn't even that. It was way to the other side. And it hurt terribly. It was as if these people that are so smart, that pride themselves on facts, right? They're fact finders. That's what they get paid to do.
Right.
Had no business of presenting propaganda information that was being fueled through the media that was so incorrect and harmful and so, so dangerous. And I said that a year ago. I said, wait a second. Everyone just hold on here. Okay, we don't have the facts. So if we don't have the facts, we can't say this. You certainly can't say it on air. You shouldn't be saying it in your personal platforms if you're presenting as a news person.
Yes.
And everybody continued. And it wasn't just the silence was deafening. It was the lack of fact-finding and compassion that kind of rolled into one.
Absolutely. And yet you could have made a choice. So I was so curious, as I'm sure Adrienne Gold was, and many people are, and impressed. What gave you the confidence and the strength to pivot? Was there a moment where you just said, enough is enough. I need to be a voice for my community?
You know, it was early days, very early days. I remember it was the first week after October 7th, and I was shattered like most Jewish people around the world, not talking about the politics, just the plain horror of the terrorism that occurred. And I said a little something, and that was fine. And then I thought, there's people all over the world saying something. I don't need to do this. But then when I started to see what was happening with like-minded individuals, as I just said, really smart people.
Yeah.
I thought, No, like somebody has to say something. Someone has to say something. And at first I didn't know what to say. And I was very numb in fear for every reason you could think of. Fear of my family, fear of retaliation, fear that October 7th was going to happen in various communities around the world, particularly in Toronto. I was very scared, like very scared. There was times where I would walk outside with my dog and I would look over my shoulder, scared. And I'm not dripping in Judaica. I don't look typically Jewish as a stereotype. Mm-hmm. If you look at some women, but it was very irrational fear. So I was hesitant, but we're talking early days, like just a couple of weeks that followed. Mm-hmm. And then I started to say something and that snowballed into people wanted to speak on my podcast. People wanted me to interview them. People wanted me to come on their podcasts and on their shows. And then I started to connect with people all over the world. Mm. And I realized, Judy, in that moment, that there wasn't one female Jewish Canadian media voice using their voice and their platforms to really try to set the record straight. Mm-hmm. And I'm just one little woman, just one little person in Canada. And it's just me. Like, it's just me.
You know what I thought at the time, and I do think this, is that you sort of became the Toronto or the Canadian Noah Tishby.
Yeah, I mean, people tell me that all the time.
Right.
I love, because I am a massive fan of Noah Tishby. She's
same.
A brilliant author and a compelling and beautiful speaker. She's a gorgeous woman with tremendous talent. And it is a huge, huge compliment. Huge compliments. So I appreciate that. I'm trying to connect with Noah. I would love to connect with her on my show.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. We can all connect.
That's right.
And maybe that's what it is for me now, but I don't see myself ever going back. I don't see myself. Yeah. Like I hope that within years that we can look back at this time and we say, okay, I did my part and this person did this and this person did that or whatever it may be. And we go forward. But I believe that things have changed for me. And I explained it when you saw me speak with Adrian.
And what a speech. And honestly, it was outstanding because the whole idea about coming back full circle. And I don't want to give it away because you're going to, I'm sure, deliver that speech many more places. And
I've been asked. I was very, very emotional. I was very grateful for the feedback and the energy in the room was mm-hmm. tremendous. It was really tremendous. But I believe we all have these, you know, these moments in life, mm-hmm. right? We have these, like you said, you pivot or something. It's like it's an epiphany or something happens. And sometimes it happens numerous times in your life. And that's yeah. fabulous. Like, how lovely is that? Maybe it's exactly when you find your bliss and you say, I'm so happy now. I've stepped into where I need to be. And I really believe that for myself. So I don't feel like TV is over or media is over because I'm still doing all of it. It's just this seems to be very highlighted right now.
Of course, it's prevalent right now.
Yeah.
You've done so many interviews. And I'm just wondering, like, we do have, you know, there are friends like Dr. Phil, who from the very beginning said, I stand with my Jewish brothers and sisters. Like, my goodness. And I don't know if you were at the Spirit of Hope evening recently. Yeah. I mean, he was just like next level. You also interviewed Eitan Chittayat. Mm-hmm. And you have said in the interviews, there's no one who is doing what you do or what you've done for the entire global community. What is it exactly that Eitan has done? And you said that he has helped Jewish people become profoundly, unapologetically Jewish. How has he achieved this? And can you say more?
Oh, wow. Okay. So I will tell you, Eitan and I subsequently have become great friends. I knew we would be because I saw him on my phone and I thought I'm already in love with this human being for having the courage to talk about everything I wanted to say and didn't know how to put it in words. And he did it, which is we need to own our narrative. Nobody is going to tell me who I am. I know who I am. I am not a colonizer or a baby killer. I am not any of those things. I am Indigenous and my family is Indigenous to my Jewish homeland, which is Israel. And I'm a proud, strong warrior like the women before me in my family, in our history.
Yeah.
And no one is going to take that away and say, no, you're not. You're none of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I listened to what Eitan had to say, which is, you need to say, I am that Jew. I am that person. I am Jewish, and I am proud to be Jewish, because our people, we are a peoplehood, and everything we do comes from love and light. It's written. It's been written for generations. We pray about it. We continue to pray for it. And no one's going to take that or reclaim my narrative, because that's not who I am. This is who I am. Even being upset with people who haven't shown true compassion or haven't stepped up in the way that I want them to, I still proceed with love when I talk about them. I don't hate anybody. I don't even hate people who have tried to annihilate us and to kill us on the other side of the world. I don't hate them. I don't love them, but I don't hate them. And that makes me profoundly Jewish, because that's written in our Torah. So,
as Adrian Gold said, speaking of all of this, that you're hosting a lot of the major events happening in the city, involving a lot of the bigwigs, giving keynotes, being a moderator, and so much more. We just talked about Dr. Phil, which was just an evening I'll never forget. And I guess I'm wondering, what do you think? And I actually want to say, when he made that video way back and he said, I stand with my Jewish brothers and sisters. So we do have many friends, but there has been a lot of silence. And I really believe that if the atrocities that happen to women, children, men, the elderly and babies happen to any other minority group, the reaction, the outcome would have been completely different.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
Like, I don't want to say, but there would have been an uprising of sort. There would have been something. Yeah. And I guess I'm wondering is, what do you think is the ultimate solution for us to restore some normalcy, compassion, empathy in our world, and bring a stop to this devastating anti-Semitism? You've talked to so many people. Where is the answer?
I think the answer lies in building bridges, not tunnels. I believe that we cannot allow people who hate us to continue to go underground and continue their hate. As I say, building tunnels, we know I'm using that as a metaphor, but that's what they're doing. They're all going under and building away from us. We need to continue to build our bridges together and to form these beautiful alliances and allyships that we're trying. I mean, that is where my work is right now. I know I come out and I'm very passionate about a lot of things that are happening topically, like every day I'm out there. But my work is building these bridges with allies. You know, there are so many more people than we realize that want peace on earth.
Yes.
What do we say at Christmas time? Our beautiful Christian brothers and sisters who say, goodwill towards men and peace on earth. This is our Christian family.
Yes.
And we support them 110%, and they support us too.
Yes. Yes. In New York, at the very beginning, they were 5,000 priests and bishops and nuns and Christian people walking in the streets to support the Jewish people.
And Judy, there are many, many, many Muslims that also support Jewish people and Christian people and want peace. They do not want the radicalization that has happened in the Middle East to come here. They want it to end. They want to live freely. They want everyone to build a bridge between all the communities and religious groups. That's what we pride ourselves as Canadians on that. I grew up in the most inclusive, beautiful neighborhood and schools. The school that I chose my children to go to, it was called the United Nations of the TDSB when they started in kindergarten. Okay.
Wow.
And when there was walks of every life, everybody, every walk of life was in their classrooms. They celebrated everything in this public school.
Yeah.
It's not like that anymore. It's devastating.
I know.
It's devastating. So, I mean, now my kids are in university and I have one left in high school who also goes to public school in the neighborhood. Yes. And he said, he doesn't even deal with it. Doesn't even listen to it. Won't even, just walks on by it.
Walks away from it.
Yeah.
You know, I said so much at the beginning that, and I say this all the time at Friday night dinners and everywhere, I wish that Mother Teresa, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, a great person, were here to save the day. And I asked someone really close to me, who's going to save the day? And he answered, we are.
Exactly.
Right.
Everybody could do a little something. You know, I've always said, not everyone has the ability like you and I to use a microphone or has this beautiful, I guess it is a gift that we've been given when we have platforms and that people actually listen to us. It's a gift. And I've never taken that for granted. Even, you know, 20 years ago when I was in news, I always felt very humble and gracious about what I had and took my responsibility around that very seriously. And so I still do in just a different way. And I tell people all the time, you don't have to have a microphone. You just need to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And as I said in my speech, it starts with just one.
Yeah.
And see how you feel.
Yeah.
And maybe it doesn't go so well and try it again, but maybe it goes really well. Mm. You're inspired to have another conversation. And that's how we're going to build our bridges. So we are going to save the day, not Mother Teresa, all of us.
You're right. Real bliss and finding out what lights you up is when everything just makes sense and just comes together for you. And I had such a sense of this when you gave your talk. And I feel like in hearing your story, that's exactly what's happened to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you say, and I want to start even with, it's funny, you talk about complexion in your Instagram, to go on to the lighter side for a minute. The best thing for your complexion is being in love.
I can talk about that, Judy, for hours.
And you are. And I think about how you talked about how you were a single mother with a one-year-old and a four-year-old, working nights, working weekends, so stressed, so worried. And then in walked the love of your life, a knight in shining armor, your soulmate, Kevin, and you married him. And how has he helped you become your best self?
God, I could cry. Honestly, I could start to cry. I cry when I speak about him because I feel... And you got it. We laugh all the time. We're going on like, oh my God, I do the math. It's 15 years, 16 years now.
Wow.
And I just said to him, I said, I'm more in love with you now. And he said, I feel more in love with you now.
Oh.
It's just one of those like really beautiful things in life. Like if there was nothing else in my life, but just this love, I'm complete. If that makes sense.
Oh, fabulous.
It's fabulous how Kevin has changed everything. I think I just read this the other day, someone was complaining about how they want to see their ex-boyfriend who was the love of their life. And the person responded and said, they wouldn't be your ex if they're the love of your life. It just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You end up with the love of your life. That just really is what happens. That's how the universe works, if you're lucky enough. And I thought about that for a second, and that's how Kevin has filled up my cup, because he really is the love of my life, like in every single way, everything.
Right.
It's everything. Okay. So yes, my complexion got better. I became much, much healthier. My heart healed. I was a wreck, and we healed each other. He was a wreck too.
Love that.
He didn't show it though. He's a doctor. He's very high functioning. I mean, you know what it's like to the doctor, they're high functioning. But yes. I was also high functioning, you know, I was in front of a camera every day. So nobody knew what was going on the inside. But we became very close very, very, very quickly, which was an indication to us that this was meant to be.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you, by the way, about that. And so about a lot of nice things. We all need lightness and an escape from all the heaviness in the news and all that's going in the world. So I want to pivot now to some of the other things that you talk about on the DL on your show and in your platform on Instagram, because we're all looking for slices of joy in our lives. And I'm just going to ask you, just generally, like when your world is falling apart, where did you look to draw strength in your community, in yourself, from without, from within? Where did you ultimately find it?
Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we're going to find out how Dana found the strength. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We're back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio AM 740. And we're here with news reporter, TV host, and now activist Dana Levinson. And Dana, just before the break, I was asking you, when your world is falling apart, where do you draw your strength from?
When you say falling apart, you mean when I was a single mother and just like really grinding that part?
Even then, or after October 7th, when you just went and you feel despondent, where did you draw strength from?
So I have many rituals, daily rituals. So I'll talk about this from a very matter of fact, because I think it helps people to talk about how you find your bliss, right? Like, how do you find your happiness amongst all this stuff going on in the world?
Right.
I really ground myself in nature every single day. And it doesn't matter how hot or how cold. It was minus 17 this morning, Judy.
Oh, and I know what you wore. I know what you wore. You wore those mittens that have these control temperature things. And then my mother said, you're going to explain it to us. And you even have a jacket you talked about on Instagram that has that has some kind of a heater inside it. What is that?
And it works. It was amazing. It's all Amazon. I don't want to plug Amazon too much, but I do put everything there when I can't. You know, it's minus 17. It's just beginning of the winter. And I think to myself, if I give in now and sit on my couch and become very isolated and depressed, what's that going to do for me? Right? Like, my happy season starts in May. It usually goes till about October. But right now, I would say this is not the happiest time when it's this cold, but you have to figure out how to get through it. And so I have, by ordering things that heat me up, literally, I get dressed. It takes me 10 minutes to plug everything in and let it heat up, and then I put it on. But I go out for a walk every morning, no matter what.
That's fantastic. And then I also see you working out.
Oh, yeah.
And can you tell us what that looks like? Because I need the tips. We all need the tips.
Yeah. So
what does Dana Levinson recommend?
I work out every day. Sometimes I would say maybe 6 days a week. And maybe on the seventh day, I don't really work out. I'll do some kind of yoga flow. But I, like many women our age, you know, I went through perimenopause. My body started to change. I'm like, what is that? Right. What is that hanging off my bum? And I don't like the way my stomach looks, and my inner thighs look vile. And I literally would say these things to myself. And I thought, that is not helpful or smart to have that kind of negative self-talk. That is not cool. But I realized that the only person that could fix that is me. So I went from working out twice a week or three times a week to moving every single day. And at 51, I was the healthiest and looked the strongest I had ever looked in my life. So that's just from a vanity point. Now, at 54, I am the healthiest I have ever been in my life. I just did all blood work, just had my medical checkup and everything. And my doctor was like, what are you doing?
Wow.
You can. You can find your health happiness by owning your life, by owning your health, and you can do it. And I'm not a health expert. I'm no guru, but I always say to people, find somebody who their language speaks to you, listen to what they have to say, and jump onto that bandwagon. Because you aren't dead until you're dead. I know women that are 80 years old that are so fabulous. They do Pilates every day. They walk every day. They look gorgeous. They feel gorgeous. They feel sexual.
Yeah.
How
do you motivate yourself though on those mornings where you're like, I'm cold? Okay. I know the walk. I agree with you about the walk. It's so important. Like I've always been told 10,000 steps a day from Suzanne Galluzzo. I don't know. She's my person that got that into my mind.
Right. But, you jumped on her bandwagon. Good for you. Amazing.
But the weights, I have a harder time that. How long do you do weights for, and what motivates you when you're going, I'm cold, I'm tired, I have so much work to do?
Okay, so my little mini gym, my weight room, tiny little room in my basement, I have a portable heater that I plug in, and it's hot in there.
Huh?
It's hot.
Like I make hot yoga. Cool.
Yeah, but I make it warm so I feel cozy when I start to work out, and then I unplug it because then I warm up. I don't do anything too strenuous that makes me stressed. Smart. But I built up to that. Like, I don't think people are struggling with weight bearing exercises. They're not going to pick up 225-pound weights and be lifting 50 pounds, but I can do that now. I couldn't. So I say to people, start low and slow and write it down. Write down your goals and then say to yourself, okay, this week I lifted, when I say lift, I'm saying a bicep curl. I did 7 pounds in each hand. Next week, I'm going to do 10 pounds. And give yourself a goal. Say in 4 weeks, I'm going to get to 10 pounds or 12 pounds when I do bicep curls.
Oh,
And you will, but you got to write it down. You got to keep track because it keeps you on task. You're holding yourself accountable. No one's holding you accountable.
Is it okay? I had this author once who said, do something for 15 minutes a day. Is it okay if you do weights 15 minutes a day, six times a week?
Sure. I mean, whatever works for you. That's amazing. You could do that. That's fantastic. Anything that you can make a habit, if it becomes habitual, for example, I squeeze lemon into a cup every night before bed. And I take that cup with a little bit of fresh lemon juice up to my bathroom and I just sit it there. Just sit it. Sit it there waiting for me. Brush my teeth in the morning and I fill it up with some warm water, down it.
Wow. In the morning. Wow.
Because if I don't get that glass of water in first thing and hydrate myself first thing, I'm going right for coffee. And that's not so good for you. It's not good for your stomach. It's not so good. You do that too. Right. Look, I drink a lot of coffee and I need to put some good things in my tummy.
Smart, hydrate myself.
And once I do that, sometimes I want a second glass.
So good. Okay. I'm talking about the 15 minutes a day of weights. How long do you do the weights for?
It depends on the workout. It could be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Okay. So incredible. And also food. Like I see you in the kitchen and you're always nutrition is key.
Yeah.
And healthy is key. But, but it looks like you're making the most delicious foods and you enjoy doing it.
It's nutritious, right? Like if you cook, if you find some recipes that you love, put it on repeat and refine them. So there's some recipes that I use that call for, I don't know, potatoes. Well, I'm nothing wrong. My family, we love potatoes, but maybe I'll throw in a sweet potato because I know that that's better for my body than just a Yukon Gold potato.
Right.
I'll eat French fries. I had French fries last night. Don't get me wrong. I don't deprive myself of anything unless I have an intolerance to it. So I eat everything, but I have always said, which I love because people started saying this, which is how about instead of taking things away from your diet, put things into your diet. Mm-hmm. So I eat a ton of green vegetables. When I'm starting to lack energy, I'm not feeling good, I put even more. But before we started this, I thought, I'm going to have a salad for lunch. I'm going to have some chicken. I thought, I'm going to make some broccolini.
Mm.
So fantastic. I made a bowl of broccolini on top of my salad and my chicken.
Oh.
It took 5 minutes. It was nothing. So I just try to add things into my diet.
That's so, so great. What does your beauty routine look like?
Which part? The cleansing, the moisturizing, the makeup.
The cleansing, the skincare, the healthy thing, and then briefly the makeup. See, this is the fun stuff.
The best stuff. I wash my face with Bioderma. Is that what it's called? Bioderma. You buy it at Shoppers Drug Mart. It's not fancy. It's excellent. I wash my face a couple times with that. I used to use Clarisonic. You know that machine?
Oh, yeah.
I don't use it anymore. I have used every moisturizer under the sun that costs an arm and a leg, everything.
Mm.
And this past, I guess, since October, I started getting these like patches of eczema and hives on my face.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oh boy. And we could sort of tie it back into sort of the post-menopausal life that I'm living, lack of estrogen, all of that stuff. And I just now use La Roche-Posay for sensitive skin. I think it's called Tolerane or Tolerane. That's it. My skin glows from this stuff. It's just plain. My teenage son uses the same. And then for an eye cream, I use, it's not Elizabeth Arden. It's with an
Clinique.
S. No, not.
It'll come to us. And also makeup. So makeup, I know you get your makeup done. Like I get my makeup done, but when you're doing it yourself, what does your makeup routine look like?
You had your makeup done now?
I did.
Oh, it looks so good.
Chantel.
Gorgeous. She did
a great job. And you have a great makeup artist. And I know because one time you were so nice. I needed somebody as a backup.
Oh, yes.
And you gave her to me. Yes. And she came. She was fantastic. Yeah.
She's fantastic. Unfortunately, I can't have her whenever I want her because she's so busy. But my makeup routine is really easy. It is fast. So if I feel like putting on foundation, I'll just throw on literally foundation, like whatever. I have the new Lady Gaga foundation. I don't have any more of it. I have to go get. I use Charlotte Tilbury. Easy stuff. Throw that on and then any kind of loose powder on my face. And I like big rosy cheeks. I do think that there's something about having rosy cheeks that makes you look healthy.
Yes.
Big plump lips with a good plumper, a really good plumper gloss. And
nice.
Every single makeup line has one. So it doesn't matter. Just pick the one you want, whatever's in your price range, I tell people. And then right now, my eyeliner I'm using inside the waterline, but I go through phases where I don't really wear a lot of eyeliner either.
And a good mascara.
Yeah, that's key because you get stuck in your eyelashes. And I've had that a lot and I've had styes. So I have to be very, very careful with that too. But yeah, that's pretty much
it. I love that. I love that. And DL,
what does it stand for?
Tell us more on the DL. I know what it stands for, Dane Levinson.
But it stands for On the Down Low. So the podcast started when I was transitioning out of news and I wanted to still take all the good stuff that I learned over the years and all the things that made me a good reporter. I wanted to use in the podcast, which was long format interviewing. And I always felt that I got the great sound bites and the great clips from people because I've always said that a good conversation, good interview is when you give of yourself. Mm-hmm. When you story tell to the person that you want them to tell your story, they're much more relaxed when they feel like you're being authentic and you're being a part, you're taking part in this conversation. You're not just sticking that mic in their face. Like, tell me how you feel when this happened. You know, it's much more conversational. Sometimes that got me in a little bit of trouble as a reporter because it wasn't so mainstream, but people did love it. And most of it ended up on the editing floor. So I wanted to take that to the podcast because it really is conversations that you would never hear in news. So if I'm interviewing a politician or I'm interviewing a celebrity or whoever it may be, I wanted to have all that information that it was always on the down low, now on the podcast. So when that started, that was the intention behind the name of it. Now everybody has a podcast. Everybody, I would say everybody and their dentist has and they all talk about everything. Everybody says everything. There's no filter. You just have to zero in on, you know, you're very niche because you talk about your bliss, right? Like what makes you happy?
Yes.
So my niche is these long format conversations where I give a lot of myself in my podcast. I mean, I always say to people, if you want to know about my life or my story, just listen to any episode. And, and people finish the interview and they'll say to me, wow, I felt like I was just chatting with my friend. Nice. Well, that's the goal.
Nice.
That's the goal.
Do you have a dream guest that you would love to interview?
Yes. So many people. Wow. I have so many people. I would love to interview Megyn Kelly.
Yes.
I would love to interview. I did want to interview Oprah.
I know.
Madonna. I know. Oprah, you break my heart. She broke my heart. Madonna.
Yeah.
She broke my heart a little bit, but not a lot, but a little bit. Oh my God, there's so many people. Dead or like, can they be a lot and like not alive?
Well, we want them to be, but I think Noah Tishby, that's the one that we have.
Noah Tishby is like, I want to speak to Noah Tishby because she inspires me.
Yeah, same.
She really inspires me to just to do better. I think even what you're doing, Judy, is so important because you're giving people, even if it's 10 minutes, just to talk about, like for me, this feels amazing to be able to talk about being a humanitarian and how that has made me feel happy. And I have really woven that into my work other than my commercial work where I'm an actual spokesperson for different products, right? That's the bread and butter that makes me money. Other than that, I've been able to it's part of who I am and it's part of my work now, which is really nice. If I was invited back, let's say to The Social to co-host again, I could be Dana Levinson, the news person, Dana Levinson, the podcast host, Dana Levinson, the Jewish advocate. I could be all those things. They just haven't invited me back because I think they're afraid of the latter, you know, not the former. So I can live my truth now, being all the things I want to be presently and going forward. And you give people that opportunity. So you're also doing the work, which is beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Thank you, Dana. You're so sweet. Thank you. I've asked you this before 6 years ago, but I'm going to ask it to you again. What is bliss these days for Dana Levinson?
Well, bliss these days. Oh my God. Of course, it's my family. I love spending time with my husband and my children. Three of our, out of our five children are at university. So when they come home, it is complete bliss in the house. My youngest is still at home. So I have great joy hanging out with him. He's divine. He's a divine 17-year-old. eyes beyond his ear. So I love every minute with him. And I really find joy with my puppy.
My Rebs.
Yeah, Rebel. I call him Rebs, Rebel Khan, Rebby. I find great joy, but really, I know I've said this 100 times, I find so much joy in our community right now.
Yeah,
as grieving and as hard as it is for us on the outside, on the inside, when we're together, whether it is physically together or just spiritually being together, there is something about this global community that we are part of that is, it is magic. It is magic. And that's why we hold it so dear. And we know that we can never let it ever be compromised because there's so much beauty in it. There's so much beauty in it. And we want to spread that light to the world. And that's our purpose.
I commend you for spreading the light and for being the light.
Thank you.
Making me cry. And I'm so grateful that you came back on to Finding Your Bliss 6 years later. And I'd love you to come back again when you write your book or you do your next major amazing thing.
Oh my God, you're crying. Judy, crying.
What is the best way for people to contact you, Dana, and connect with you on social media?
Sorry, I didn't mean to make you cry. It's at Dana Levinson, and they have to spell my name properly, DanaLevenson. I do answer, my DMs, right, Judy? I answer them.
100%, 100%.
I get a lot of them these days, and if I don't get to it that day, I will within a few days, because I set aside time where I can actually just sit down and go through them and answer as best I can. So it is the best way of getting me.
That's fantastic. I want to thank you so much. It really has been an honor, Dana Levinson, to have you on the show today. And I really thank you for being here. And I commend you for everything you're doing in the world.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And the best to you and your family, your growing family.
Thank you.
We'll be right back with Finding Your Bliss and singer-songwriter Jules Halpern when we come back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hey everyone, we are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And we're so excited to be joined by singer-songwriter Jules Halpern, who's back with another song. She's so prolific these days. So Jules has been singing since she could walk. Her performance of Stevie Wonder's Ribbon in the Sky led her to be invited to sing at many festivals and to sing the Canadian and national anthems at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Jules was also invited to sing for the Stronger Together 2 Ensemble on national television with a who's who list of many well-known Canadian singers and celebrities. She's been recording lots of new music, and she's here today to tell us about one of her latest releases. Jules Halpern, welcome back to Finding Your Bliss.
Thank you very much for having me again. I'm very happy to be here for the probably sixth time over the years.
Yeah, six or seven or something up there, but we love you on this show, as you know. I have to congratulate you on your latest song, Hush, that was just released on January 9th. It's absolutely awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about the song and set it up for us?
Well, thank you, first of all. So you'd be surprised to know this song belonged to another artist originally, but my producer had some writing credits on it as well. Sometimes John will come in from LA to Toronto and he'll be like, okay, I have a new song for you. Because I've helped write a lot of my songs, but a couple of them belong to other people. So this one was just, I got a text from him being like, okay, you have 12 hours, learn this song. We're going to record it tomorrow. And I'm like, okay. And then I learn it. And then he never has the lyrics written down. So I'm always like, you know, what is this? What is this person saying here? But yeah, this was a song that belonged to another artist, but I thought it was great. And it's very like punchy and it's poppy and like soulful. And it's just like fun and attitude-y. I like it.
Yes.
So
yes.
Yeah.
That was the word that I was thinking of as soulful. It's so soulful. It so sits beautifully in your register. And I love that you did a cover of it in your car. And I think that's like a great place to, you know, you kind of did a cover of it in the car, which just really made it come alive. And it was
not even my car. But I don't have one, but nor can I drive. But yeah.
How fun was it recording the song? Like you had to do it very quickly as you're describing. And of course you got it together. What was it like, that experience of recording it?
I mean, it was nice. We recorded at an Orange Lounge in Toronto, which is where John will book a studio once in a while when he comes in. And it was nice. We recorded that. And I think we might have also recorded some background vocals for another song, which could have been I Got It. Maybe. But if it's not I Got It, it's one that will come out at one point.
Nice.
But it was a fun experience. It always is. We book it for like a while and I stand there and I just sing for like 5 to 7 hours on average. I feel like how much we book the studio for. So it could be multiple songs that we're working on or like different background vocals that we're laying down for different ones or changing lyrics of different songs. But overall, it was a lot of fun. It always is. John is a blast. He's very funny. And the guy who works at Orange is also very lovely. And it was a good experience. It always is.
So fun. Do you go and celebrate after and have like a great dinner and just like chill and not necessarily?
I'm tired. I don't know why, but it can be very tiring and emotional, especially when you're singing sad songs, even if you're not Hush isn't a sad song. But I've been in the studio for like 7 hours and then I came back and John was there and I just cried and I was like, why am I crying? And he was like, this isn't the first time I've seen this happen, which is really interesting because I don't know why I did, but I did. Not for this one. No, afterwards, I'm tired. I go lie down. If I have schoolwork to do, I do that. I'm not going out to celebrate. I'm celebrating it as much as I love the experience. I'm celebrating it not being over, but being like accomplished.
Nice.
You know?
Nice.
Like I'm happy to have done it and I'm grateful to have done it.
And is it a thrill to hear it? Like you're going to hear it now, but is it a thrill when you hear it again, like after you've had a little bit of distance from it and you just go, oh my God, I can't believe that. It sounds so great. And wow, that really happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little bit harsh on myself, so I don't really like listening to my voice, especially in my songs. I don't know. I don't really like listening to my voice in my songs, but I'm good with it. I like listening to my voice in person, but it's really nice to see it come together and to see what John's done with it. And it's cool once it's mixed and mastered when I get to hear it. And because like randomly, I'll just get a text from John being like, it's done. And I get to hear it. And it's nice. Wow. It's nice to hear it and to hear the work that he's put into it.
You're so profesh, Jules. I love it. It's so cool to watch this evolution of yours. It really
I'm a grandmother. I'm a grandmother. My friends tell me I was like born at 50 years old. I don't know.
you're an old soul, but you're not a grandmother.
That's
you're
one of my
young
songs. That's the title.
Oh,
of
is that
songs
one of your songs? Really?
That's the first song I wrote. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. You've got to come back.
That was the first
someday
song I wrote when I went to LA when I was like 11. And yeah. John was like, she's not traumatized enough. She doesn't have enough to write about. You need to do something.
Well, guess what? I'm going to ask you to come back sometime in the future and sing that for us. We would love that. Oh,
of
my
course
God.
I will.
Without further ado, let's all have a listen to one of Jules Halpern's latest. Let's all have a listen to Hush. Due to international copyright law, podcasts are unable to include music. Music can only be played on the live radio broadcast. Finding Your Bliss airs every Saturday at 1 p.m. If you'd like to hear this artist's music, you can find the link to our Finding Your Bliss SoundCloud in the episode description. Oh my God, Jules, that was so gorgeous. Oh my God,
I love it.
Wow. But this song is going to be a hit. The song is, it's really fantastic.
Well, I hope so.
Oh, so great. Anything else coming up that you'd like to share with us that you're looking forward to that's coming down the pike?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the next song I'm going to release is my song called Stand Beside Me, which is like the first actual sad song. That one I helped write. Don't worry. Wow.
Awesome.
That one has Scott Hoying from the Pentatonix. He helped co-wrote that with Autumn Rowe and me and John. And he also does background vocals on that, Scott, which nice. I'm very excited about. Which is so funny because he was in the studio and he was just like doing his background vocals and he was coming up with so many different harmonies. And John was just like, how do you know where to go for each of them? And then we were laughing at him. We were telling him that he could just be all the Pentatonix if he wanted. I'm excited for that one. That one's a more like emotional. Once again, I don't like the way I sound on it as much. I always feel like every time I hear a song, once it's produced, it takes a while. And then when I hear it, I'm like, I could have done it so much better now.
Oh, I don't believe that.
So I get like, but you know, it's a very emotional song and you can hear that it's emotional for me in the song. So I like it. And I think it's a beautiful song. I think that Autumn and Scott just like did a really, really nice job on it. And it's very emotional. I listen to it and I'm like, you know, but I'm very excited for that one.
So is it easier to write? I think I've probably asked you this before, but is it easier to write when you're going through angst and you're going through, you know, all that kind of stuff, like in a relationship or after a relationship, is that easier to conjure up to have that emotion as opposed to singing for a happy song?
I feel like kinda, yeah. Cause when it comes to conjuring up those emotions, I like doing that. I really enjoy singing ballads and stuff that's like emotional just cause I feel like I feel it. But when it comes to like writing it, well, recently I was writing with, I'm working on a song that I'm actually, this time I'm actually taking more initiative. I'm actually helping to write it a lot, wow. Mostly with this guy, Ben Foran. He's mainly a guitarist. He's lovely. I just met him. We're going to continue working when I'm back in Toronto, writing a sad song. And he's a lovely guy. He's a guitarist and he's played on like Camila Cabello stuff and wow. Daniel Caesar. And he's a very, very nice guy. He also went to my high school when nice. He was younger. But I honestly do feel that emotion when you're going through stuff or you're in a relationship or anything like that. I feel like it is easier to write stuff about it. And it's easier to conjure up that emotion and it's easier to, yes. you know, put that out there in a song.
Well,
yeah.
I feel it. The truth is when you're singing, whether it's happy or it's got that vibe and that soulful thing or a ballad, emotional thing, whatever it is, you're so great at every single genre and every single permutation and computation. You've got it like that song, you know?
Thank you.
Great song that's been on this show before.
I got it.
I always ask you this question. So now that we're in January, 2025, what is bliss these days for you?
I might have to come up with a similar answer. It's really just like being able to listen to my music and my record player, which is right there. You can see it kind of in the background. And just looking out at the water, that's actual bliss for me, I feel. Also sleeping. I really enjoy sleeping. I feel like I need more sleep. And I feel very grateful when I get, like today, I'm not as busy. When you're like working hard at school and all that, when you have downtime, you just feel so grateful for it. And like, when I have downtime and I get to look out at the lake, Lake Ontario, when I get to have downtime and look at the lake and just listen to my music, that's when I've truly found my bliss. And being with my family and my dog. And
that's
yeah.
so great. I think you've really got it together. That's what I'm going to say here.
Oh,
you know that
you.
I feel that way. You really do. And
I appreciate that.
it's just fabulous to have you always on this show. You're amazing. Everybody, look out for Jules at Halpern. What is the best way for people to follow you, connect with you on social media, and of course, to listen to your beautiful music?
Well, my songs are out on like all the platforms now. So Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon, and some other ones that I don't know the names of, but it's on like a lot of stuff. So you'll find it everywhere. And my artist is just Jules Halpern. And then I have for my Instagram, it's jules.halpern, jules.halpern. And then my TikTok, I think it could still be jules_music27.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah.
You are everywhere, and especially follow her on Spotify and all of the streaming platforms and download her music because, wow, she is certainly an artist to watch out for and one that we absolutely love on this show. Thank you so much for being back here again today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
And happy, happy new year. Can't wait to hear what's next.
Yes, happy new year. Happy new year.
Have a great one. Thank you so much.
Each week, we spotlight a singer, songwriter, or musician on the show. If you're a singer, please reach out to us. And if you're an artist, author, yoga, meditation expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we would love to hear from you. Also, what did you love about today's program? Are there any guests or topics that you would like us to feature on Finding Your Bliss? Just write to us at fyb@findingyourbliss.com. For those of you who don't know, I'm the Bliss Coach. That means I help you get unstuck, gain clarity, and find your passion and purpose in 2025. Just reach out to me at findingyourbliss.com/coaching. I'm also on Insight Timer, the number one free meditation app. And all you have to do is search up Judy Liebrack. And of course, you can always find us and follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I would love to thank our wonderful guests, Dana Levinson and Jules Halpern, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yannizziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.